T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Ranger. From their album Midnight Madness is your artist of the day. Good afternoon and welcome. It is a Monday afternoon. Half the show has already abandoned the Michael Franti show tonight. The other half is still in.
It's all good.
You got a big day tomorrow.
I do. Yeah, you have fun.
Will, we're going to have a good time.
Yes, sir.
You got the Uber lined up, 7:30 my house tonight.
I've checked with Julie. We're good, so I'll see you at your house.
Look forward to that. It's going to be a good time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to need a little more. I didn't have my headphones on. Ooh, I so adore that. Cutting Crew, I've been in love before. Such a jam.
Just one touch. We haven't played in a while. I just want to make sure you're still on top of your
game. I cannot begin to express how much I love that record. That is a jam in every sense of the word.
Story here out of Jefferson City, Missouri. For years, artist Peggy Fontenot exhibited her black and white portraits of Native people. So obviously you have an interest in this story.
Mm-hmm.
And beaded jewelry handmade with traditional Native American stitches, Dana. Until 2016. She also sold her work to Oklahomans and Missourians through fairs, galleries, and stores. But that stopped once both states passed laws that said only artists from federally recognized tribes can market their creation as, quote, Indian made. Though based in California, Fontenot is a member of the Potawomek, a tribe recognized by the Commonwealth of Virginia, but not recognized by the federal government. She has sued the state of Missouri, calling the law that it passed last year unconstitutional and a violation of her First Amendment right to free speech. Says Fontenot, the law's not allowing me to identify as who I am or allowing me to identify my work as what it is. To me, that violates my free speech. The lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court of Western Missouri, 5 months after Fontenot's victory in federal court in Oklahoma earlier this year.
Indian made.
Mm-hmm. How do you determine Indian?
That is a good question.
Thank you.
How do you determine Indian with respect to college aid? Someone has to decide.
I say I'm an Indian. I'm an Indian. I identify as an Indian.
But if you are selling art, and I'm not saying that this California woman would fall into this category at all. If you are selling art and you are purporting to be Native American and you are not, is that fraud?
That also is a good question.
Sure seems like fraud to me.
Let's explore.
If you sell Amish-made products...
But I'm not Amish.
Woodworking, soap, lotion...
But I'm not Amish.
But you're not really Amish. Is that fraud?
How many times have you heard commercials... I don't want to get into that because I don't want to get us in trouble.
If you are profiting off of a product and you claim to be fill in the blank, because that's going to help you sell more of said product, isn't that bouncing right up against the line of fraud?
Fraud is obviously claiming you're something you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Or claiming to have something you don't have.
Correct. And now you're profiting off of. But, and again, I'm not saying this woman isn't Indian in California. I'm just saying that's why these laws exist, right?
But the tribe she claims to be a member of is recognized in Virginia, but not recognized by the federal government. However, where do we draw the line, Dana, between I am this, oh, no, you are not.
Right.
And I have the right to claim that I'm that, even if I'm not. Rachel Dolezal.
Identifies as a black woman.
Ran the NAACP in Spokane, Washington.
She is very much a white woman.
She is a white woman.
But she says she identifies as a black woman. Is that fraud, or is that how she identifies?
Not to draw politics into this, but let's say that I'm Scott Parks.
Yeah.
Okay. I decide to run for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I am a registered Republican.
Okay.
But I run as a Democrat.
We've seen people switch parties.
No. I haven't switched parties. I'm still a member of the Republican Party, but I register to run as a Democrat. I tell you, I am a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. I'm running against Sharice Davids. But everybody knows I'm a Republican. Everybody knows I'm right of center. Is that fraud? I'm claiming to
I don't
be
think it's
something
as much,
I'm not.
I don't think it's as much fraud as it begins to be when you are selling a product claiming to be something that you are not.
I am selling a product. I'm selling me politically.
Hmm.
I'm selling an idea. An idea is a product.
Hmm.
I produce the idea in your mind that I'm with you. I'm a Democrat.
What if the product is a great product? It's soap. It smells like soap. It acts like soap.
It is soap.
It is soap. You're not selling something, which would be fraud, that you're claiming to be A, but in actuality it's B. Like you're selling, let's say, real beeswax-based soap, but there's no beeswax in it. That's not the same as claiming you are somebody that you are not.
Yeah, if I tell you I'm selling you a soda, okay, and I say it is sugar-free, but there's sugar in it.
You can't do that.
That's a violation of the law. But if I sell you sugar-free soda that is sugar-free, but I tell you it comes from the bold,
yes,
ancient traditions of my Indian family and heritage.
That's where the problem comes in.
Well, but how do you know it doesn't come from the...
Prove that I didn't get that recipe from my great-great-grandmother, who was Cherokee Indian.
All right, let me give you another just complete, in my mind, questionable scam of a product, okay? A couple years ago, these bracelets were super popular. Little plastic bracelets. You would see the kids wearing them.
Oh, sure.
And those bracelets were $36 because the water inside of those little beads came from the highest point of the Himalayas.
Mm.
And I looked at my
so
daughter.
That's fresh water.
And I said, if you think I'm paying $36 for some crappy piece of plastic bracelet with tap water in it, you have lost your mind, sister. Hmm. Prove it's Himalayan water.
576-7798. Where do you draw the line between this is fraud and this is my right to free speech? A woman has sued Missouri. She makes Indian art. She says she's a member of a tribe that is recognized in Virginia, not recognized by the federal government. But she says she's an Indian. She has every right to sell this stuff and put on there Indian made. The government begs to differ.
What if she puts on it sort of Indian made? It's complicated.
Kind of really, but not sure yet.
It's Indian-ish made.
Somebody writes in, what about kosher material? Do you have to be Jewish?
No.
I don't know.
No, because kosher has a specific set of guidelines that are adhered to in the production of the product.
So I could be a Presbyterian and make kosher products.
Absolutely, as long as it, you know, fits those guidelines, as I understand
but
it.
But who makes sure that they do fit the guidelines?
There's a like a board that does the certification of that.
Well, I want to be on the kosher made board.
You take that up with them.
576-7798. Where do you draw the line between this is who I think I am? Ooh, you just broke the law. And I have the right to free speech to claim whoever I want to be. This is a case playing out in Missouri where a woman who claims to be Native American from a tribe in Virginia that is recognized in Virginia but not by the federal government makes art and then writes Indian-based or, you know.
Indian-made.
Indian-made. Thank you, Dana.
And I want to know, do you legally have to be honest? And there's no indication this woman's being dishonest, but I'm just asking.
Correct.
People sell products all the time and use their background to sell more of the product or to sell it at a higher price. And there's actually a great one holding on line one. People are, listeners are coming up with all kinds of great examples. And I asked, do you really have to be Amish to sell Amish made wares online?
Cindy in South Kansas City. Cindy, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, this is crazy. Our government wants to smack somebody on the hand for saying that it's made in, you know, Amish people and all this. But when I was at a grocery store the other day, I was looking at salmon. Atlantic Company was the name. And when I got out my little phone and I took a picture so I could see it and I blew that baby up, those are pond-fed salmon. So if you will deceive the people of the United States like that on something that can actually hurt their health, what is this woman doing that's hurting anybody? So what if you're being deceived? Everything's made somewhere, but you know what? When you mess with our food and our sources of water and those kind of things, I have a problem. But what is she hurting? She's making a living.
Yeah, and I go back to my example, Cindy. If you really think that the water in those bracelets came all the way from someone climbing to the top of some mountain, I just don't buy it. I don't believe it to be true. They mass-produced those bracelets.
Let me ask you this. I have a Dasani water in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Why do you hate the environment?
Well, if I don't buy it, somebody else will, I guess. And it just says purified water enhanced with minerals for a pure, fresh taste.
Mm-hmm. But haven't we all read it's tap water?
Well,
I think we have.
That most bottled water is just tap water?
Well, yes. No, it comes in as tap water, and then they do extra treatments to it there. But yes, it begins as tap water. They then do their reverse osmosis and add stuff
but
the, to
but there was
it
some
to,
concern years ago with one company that was claiming that it was from the rich rivers of Colorado.
Yeah, now that's where the issue comes in.
I had a question off the air. Does anyone who claims and uses this to sell their product, anyone who claims they are a veteran-owned business?
Ooh, there's a good one.
That's one you see a lot. Do you really have to be veteran-owned to claim you're veteran-owned? You're not selling a product that isn't what you claim it is.
Is that stolen valor?
I'm asking.
And furthermore, because the word veteran also does apply to anyone who's been doing something for a long time. If I've been doing something for 30 years, I'm a veteran of my industry.
I'm a veteran of the radio industry. I've been here for 26 years.
My company is veteran-owned then.
And so to the caller's point, does anyone care about the backstory to your business?
John Abby, Cindy, and the others, hang tight. We'll get with everybody in just a moment.
Because I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker.
Starrett, we got kids, man. I'm not sure we can make the whole show. Starrett. Fronte, I was just looking at the set list. Fronte plays 22 songs tonight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Either he's going to be booking through it or it's going to be...
it's going to be a long night.
It's going to be a little late night, yeah.
All right, so we're talking about this woman who claims to be of Native American descent, and no, it's not Dana. And she actually has a card to prove it. And she makes art and sells it in Missouri and in, what was the other state? Oklahoma.
But if I made art and said it was Indian made, you would look at me and say, give me a break, as you should.
Yes.
Would I be lying? Is that fraud?
No.
And I think that's where...
embarrassingly, no.
Well, that's where the Missouri... and I'm trying to go back when they passed the law in Missouri that you can only label things native made that are actually native made. Here it is.
But define native.
Well, listen, the law to label Native American art was passed by the Missouri General Assembly with hopes of cracking down on fraudulent artists who are, quote, wannabe Indians, according to the bill's sponsor. The Lake Ozark Republican Representative Rocky Miller is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, a federally recognized tribe. Quote, it is a true theft of my heritage and the other true Native Americans' heritage when you do something like that. And it is criminal, according to him, if you profit off of it.
But do I not have the free speech rights? Quite frankly, especially in this age of the PC culture, Dana, do I not have the right to claim something that I'm not?
Is it counterfeit? If you're claiming something you are not.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say that there was a market, and there's not, for English-based products.
Okay.
And so in the United States, people were clamoring over art and whatever made by people of English descent. Now, all my life, I have been told that my family was from England and a little bit from Ireland.
You don't have any reason to...
Never had any reason to doubt it.
Doubt it?
My last name is Parks. That's a very English name. Mm-hmm. My mother said that her family came from Ireland. My dad's family came from England. Okay? So I start making art, and I claim it's Irish-English art.
Okay.
I would have no way to really prove that I'm right or wrong unless or until I did an ancestry... Or 23
right.
and me.
Or until and unless someone comes along and tries to disprove it.
Well, how are you going to disprove it? Are you going to swab my mouth?
I don't know.
You make me spit into a tube at gunpoint?
I don't know. Fake English art-making person?
I'm not fake. I'm 88% English. But I didn't know that until I took the test. But that's what I had been told all my life. John in Kansas City. Hello, John.
Yeah, you guys are kind of making a mockery of this when it's fairly recognized people. Yeah, when it's fairly recognized people, and when you brought me in on another point that I'm going to make when you were talking, this makes sense what's going on. When it's fairly recognized tribes and state recognized tribes, and you made me count to how many there were off the top of my head while I have gone old, there are 14 states that have state recognition processes for tribes. And up until 2 years ago, the majority of the tribes of Virginia were state recognized. Six of them are now federally recognized. And to get to a quicker point here, the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, and there's the Kituwa Cherokee in Oklahoma, there's the Cherokee Nation, and then there's the Caliban of Cherokee in North Carolina. They're federal. They do not like any of these wannabe Cherokee tribes anywhere else. They really don't like them in Missouri. I'm an observer of this. I don't take a side on it, but I'm an observer. They failed at getting this law passed in Oklahoma. I think it gets the same woman because this case was in Oklahoma two or three years ago with this law, and it got struck down there. So they're trying to take a second bite at the apple to get this woman selling stuff in Missouri. And if I remember correctly, she's from the Potomac tribe in Virginia, and they're not one of the tribes that got recognized federally.
Correct.
In Virginia,
John, that is correct. Hers is not, real quick, hers is not federally recognized.
Yeah, but there is state, in the 14 states that recognize tribes, Missouri's one of them, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia.
You get it.
South Carolina, I know all of them. But anyway, in all of those, they do have protection. And these laws, both the federal and the state laws, came into effect between 1990 and 1992. And if you remember correctly, I remember you guys bringing this man up back in the day, a Terry Lee Whetstone. He was not Indian at all, but he was claiming to be Cherokee from Missouri, and it was the Kansas Star 2 years ago. And they have a right to go after somebody by, like him, but the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma really doesn't like 20 or 30 fake Cherokee tribes.
But let me, John, just cut to the chase and let me ask you, if this is not a federally recognized tribe, do you think she has the right to sell these goods or not?
Sure he does. She beat him in Oklahoma. They're trying to beat her in Missouri.
So what's your beef? I mean, you were accusing us of making fun of or making light of this. I don't think we
because
were.
Because it's a factual legal situation. Like when you were just talking before I called about your English ancestry and stuff, that's not a legal identity in the United States by the federal government. Being Native American is.
So, but are you saying that if her tribe became federally recognized, she then would be able legally to sell these things? Is that your position?
She should be able to legally sell them now. She already beat them on this in Oklahoma.
I agree with you.
They're just trying to beat her in Missouri.
Well, John Scott agrees with you.
I'm going to agree with you on that.
They're trying to get a second bite at the apple because Oklahoma passed a law like this 2 or 3 years ago, and there's a Ute tribe in Oklahoma that's state recognized, but also under the federal umbrella of the Muscogee Creek, and they've been trying to get separate treatment from the Muscogee Creek, and they do have protection as a state recognized tribe in Oklahoma, even though some of their tribes has federal recognition to make crafts.
Who gets to decide, John, what Indian made means and who gets to do it? Really, at the end of the day, who gets to decide?
The federal government, the tribes doing, I mean, it bugs me when Scott mocks your blood quantum, but you have a right. If you're enrolled in Muscogee Creek and Cherokee, you have as much right to make art as anybody because blood quantum was only created to make Indians go away on paper.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. I think I love your passion. I do love your passion. I think, strangely, John, you and I actually agree on this story, and I think you're blinded by your distaste for me, and you can't see that. Abby and Lee Summit. Hello, Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Hi there.
Hey.
I had kind of an interesting little twist on the conversation that you guys are having. I find it humorous that there's all of this debate between what is and what is not Indian-made when talking about Native American-made things. Technically, none of it would be Indian-made because none of them are from India.
That is true, but that is the language in the law, Abby, that they have used. It is the language in the law.
Which is what I think is entertaining, that the law is what's saying what is and what is not Indian-made, and yet it really has nothing to do with India in the beginning.
But we've come to accept the fact that Indian also means Native American. Have we not?
Well, then it kind of goes back to the same argument that you're having, Parks, as far as whether or not you should be able to split hairs on what stuff's called and what terminology you can and cannot use when it's kind of ambiguous all around these days as far as what people accept and
don't. Fair point. That's a fair point, Abby. And I don't care. If I get duped by somebody who claims that they're Native American and they make this art and for whatever reason, I'm not really sure why good art depends on where someone is technically from.
It's actually in 1990, Congress passed the Indian Arts and Crafts Act. That's what it's called, the Indian Arts and Crafts Act.
That's pretty dumb.
Let me give you an example that I find funny, and I know my friend finds it funny too. She goes out of the country and visits a very, very tiny village. I think it was in Greece, but I don't remember, okay? And in that village, they are known for making lace. Beautiful, handcrafted lace. It's where lace comes from, okay? And you take the tour and you see the women there handcrafting this lace. And let's say for a wedding veil, Scott, you know, it takes 320 hours to make a veil. And so you take the tour, and then at the end of the tour, you know what they want to do? They want to sell you lace, from the smallest village that sells this storied product. And so they buy it. They buy a little table runner. It was very expensive, and they get it home. And they're putting it out finally for the first nice occasion where they're entertaining guests. And they accidentally put it wrong side up. And they notice a tag on the finely crafted lace from the very small village somewhere in Greece. And I'm not saying the tag said Walmart on it, but the tag basically said Walmart on it.
Okay.
Now, you were there. You saw them making the lace.
But
you agreed to pay $400 for it, or $4,000, whatever it was.
I understand your point.
You come back and there's a commercialized tag on it. Is that on you or is that on them?
Let me give you, and I know we got to get to break, so let me do this in 30 seconds or less. Off the coast of Venice, okay, there are two small islands, Murano and Burano. And I can't remember which one. I want to say it's Murano. On one of those islands, they're famous for blowing glass, okay? So if you want really fine blown glass, you buy it from Murano, okay?
Sure.
Now, you're assuming that the person blowing the glass is Italian. He's a Venetian.
Of course!
What if an expatriate American...
glass blower, dude.
...got a job as a glass blower in Murano...
Worked at 7th Heaven.
There's a difference between... Right, he blew more than glass. There's a difference between where they claim something is from and who you claim you are.
I agree with you.
I could be a glassblower in Murano as an American. It doesn't take away from the fact that that glass was blown in Murano. Does it need to say product of Murano, but...
Blown by an expatriate American.
We're not real sure where Bob came from.
Not really sure that Bob's an Italian here, kids.
I mean, give me a break.
You're saying it's more about the product than the person making the product.
I say it's more about the location where it's made than who makes it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
576-7798. Right down on the text line, please stop saying Indian made, say Native American made. I'm just telling you what the law says you're supposed to put on it. The law says Indian made.
And the sponsor
Who
of the law.
Who am I to question the federal government?
The sponsor of the law is Native American and was angry about fraudsters, which is why the law came about in Missouri in the first place. But Scott is right, legally. All of the language says Indian made and Indian Arts and Crafts Act.
And I think this is a horrible violation of the First Amendment. Roger in Kansas City. Roger, hello.
Hello. Yeah, I got one question. I got 3 points here. One of them is, it is a federal crime to represent yourself as a vet for a vet-owned business.
Oh, okay.
Case in point, the KCBA here. Somebody was rebuilding the front entrance. He hired a veteran and to sign the paperwork, but the veteran was just paid a nominal fee just to sign the paperwork.
But let me ask you this, Roger, before you continue on with your other 2 points. I'm assuming that with the work at the VA, the Veterans Administration...
If this involves federal money or signing a federal contract, that is fraud.
That's right. That's right, Dana. And the government would be looking for someone who is clearly a veteran of the military services. Am I right?
Yes, that owns the company.
Right. But I could be a veteran of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department and maybe not qualify for a job remodeling part of the VA, but I could still say that's veteran-owned.
No, you're not a veteran unless you've gone through the U.S. Armed Forces.
Okay.
Okay, I'll look that up. Go ahead. Continue on.
And it's also, your glass island was wrong. I'm sorry. But anyway, also, we get wrangled all the time. I mean, drive down any highway, you see a motel, says rooms $39 and up. Well, there's only like 2 rooms available for $39.
Mm-hmm.
And those are always rented.
Isn't that weird?
That's so weird.
Isn't that crazy, Roger?
I talked to a friend of mine in the hotel business or motel business, and she said they always keep two rooms at that price, but they're always occupied.
Mm-hmm. By the way, and I'm not correcting you, but I am correcting you, the first definition of veteran is a person who has had a long experience in a particular field. The second definition is a person who has served in the military.
I understand the definitions, but yes, according to federal contracts law,
sure.
If you claim to be a veteran-owned business, they want you to be a veteran of the military.
Absolutely, okay. And I agree with you
and
on that part.
And it should be like that. I was just curious if you can claim that if you're not, if you are not trying to get federal money or a contract bid. Now, clearly, when you start doing that, that is in violation of federal law, and you will go to prison.
As it should be.
Yeah.
If the government is saying, for example, we want work done on the VA in Kansas City.
Sure.
All right? And we are only bidding this to veteran-owned companies.
Mm-hmm.
It is, if it's not implicit, it is clearly stated, the people we want applying for this job have better have served in the U.S. military. That does not mean that I can't sell something and say it is, you know, I could sell a microphone
mm-hmm.
and say it was made by a veteran. What, made by a veteran of what? Made by a veteran of the radio industry.
So you know, okay.
So you know it's good.
Okay.
You can be a veteran of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department.
I tend to agree with our last caller that that's a very fine hair to split.
It is a thin line. You're right. Jim in Sibley. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Dana. Hello, Scott.
Hi.
Hello, Jim.
Scott, just a quick question. How have you managed to stay out of jail so far?
Don't get pulled over.
Okay, good. But no, Dana, you mentioned the 1990 Indian Arts and Crafts Act, which is a federal law, and there's quite a sting to that. 5 years potentially, $250,000 fine.
Woo!
So if this lady prevailed in Oklahoma on the Oklahoma law, my thought is it was overturned on the basis that the federal law is preempting that, and they're the only ones to handle, you know, tribal affairs, et cetera. But, Scott, I see this issue as the Native Americans, the Indians, protecting their brand. I don't see it any different. Just think of the case where you would print up your own Jayhawk T-shirt and sell it in a little shop on the streets of Lawrence. And it hasn't gone through the
university
process.
Yeah, they do not like it when you do that.
But Jim, let me ask you this. Let's say I didn't have to go through the licensing from KU, and I printed up a KU T-shirt, and it was tagged printed by an alum, and I had not graduated from the University of Kansas. Is that fraud?
Yeah, that's could be, although some universities consider you an alum if you've gone there for 1 year or more.
Okay. Well, I never attended the University of Missouri, okay?
But anyway, I see it as a brand protection, and another example would be wine.
Lying is not against the law, necessarily, unless you're under oath.
What now? No, wine.
Oh.
Vino, wine.
Oh, wine.
Okay,
yeah, like in France. They have the denominations in Spain, the areas, for example, Champagne. Grown.
That's a great example.
Area.
That is a good example, Jim. All right, man. Hey, glad we got you in, buddy. Good call. Good points.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.